Okay, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this day, Lord. There's so many things to be thankful for. Your love for us, our family, our friends, waking up every single day just to see what new creation you've made for us. I pray tonight for each and every person here. I pray for the teacher and the children, praying that you'd bless them, praying that you would guide them in everything that they do. And I thank you for this opportunity to just speak your word. And I pray you would be with me. I pray you would guide me in it. I pray that you would bless this evening in this fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm not Robert. We're not doing Proverbs, like he had said on Sunday. We are going to be in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Have you ever started anything and thought you have a plan and you already know what you want to do, right? You know what you want to do. You know how you're going to have it. You have a setup. You got your steps. This is what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden it changes. That happens to me a lot. Probably with Eric too, because he's pretty much in the same field I am with property management facilities. Pastor Robert asked me to teach, and I was excited. Not as nervous as I was the last time. Still a little nervous, but I got family here. Everybody here is family, so I'm not that nervous. But what I wanted to teach on is not what God wanted me to teach on. Last time I taught, we talked about surrendering to God. And so instead of surrendering to God, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Doesn't work that way. So guess what? We're going to go with what God wants. That worked out a lot better. Took a couple days. I was getting a little stressed about it, but it was good. My message tonight is meeting specific needs, which we just did this past weekend. When we go through James, we're going to read verses 13 through 18, and then I'll break it down a little bit. Verse 13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick." Excuse me. "And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years, 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So the first part is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Suffering isn't always a physical suffering. It can be emotional. It can be mental. It can be physical. It's one of those things that it says right after it, let him pray. For a lot of us, this is a busy time of the year, depending on your job. The last couple weeks for me, it's been more emotional and more spiritual for my suffering. Because we've got a lot of different things going on. Again, I have that plan of what I want to do, but that's not the way it worked out. If you go and you listen to the Lord, like James is telling the 12 tribes, then, excuse me, if you pray, then you're going to see what his will is for you. I had different times that I had, hey, Mike, I need you to do this. Hey, Mike, I need you to do that. I was trying to do it on my own, but I wasn't trying to do it with God's help. I've told you guys before, my prayers in the morning is 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and it's always what I do. I pray that what I do is pleasing to you. I pray that it's a productive day. What I didn't pray for was for strength and for wisdom on how to handle these situations that I come up with. And that's one of the things that was a specific need for me, praying to God for help. This weekend, we had people come to our church that had a specific need. And whether they said it was a financial, whether they said it was a medical, whether they said it was clothing, whatever it may have been, they came to us because they had a specific need and God used us to pray for them. And if you looked at some of the people, they were touched very much so because we did pray for them. The second part of that says, is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. I had a couple of people, a couple of gentlemen, that when I prayed, they didn't have anything specific. But when I was praying for them that they would have a good week, that they would have a blessed week, that they would continue to look to God, all I kept hearing was, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. I love you so much. And that was awesome. And that's what we should do. When I had those bad days, did I thank God every single day? No. I did thank him a couple times, but I should have thanked him more. Because again, it was a specific need. I needed God in my life more than what I was allowing him to be in. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Again, being sick doesn't necessarily mean a physical sickness. But we get those prayer requests from Janie telling us that somebody's sick, somebody needs prayer. And that's what we should be doing. We should be praying for them because they have a specific need. Their need is to be healed physically. Their need is to be healed emotionally. They need the energy to get through their day. They need help. And that's what, when I was reading this and when I was going over it, it was funny because finally the Lord gave me something to talk about and to teach on. And as I kept going more, I kept going from verse to verse and going back. And, you know, I can read the Bible, but I love when I get to do a devotional or I get to do a teaching where I get to study the Bible. Again, that is a specific need for me, is to study more. So when we're praying for the sick, we need to do it fervently. We really, really do. I love hearing certain people in our church that pray. My sister's one of them. Janie's another. And if you listen to them, you'll hear how much they are praying with all of their might, with their heart and with their soul for that person. They don't know that person, but they're praying for that need for them because they want them to know that we love them and that we care about them. We care about them so much that we want them to have a better life. We want them to come to Jesus so that they can be in heaven with us. And that's what we look for. How many times have you needed something? Money to pay a bill, time to go out with a loved one, meet them for daddy-daughter date. Yeah, that's right, hon. You know, date night, you know, getting home to see the family. You know, we always need something. James talks about being cheerful and singing praise. And when we have that need met, that's what we should be doing. We should be praising God for that. It's something small and it's something simple, but at the same time, it's so huge. It's so huge to know that when you have asked him for something and he has met that, that you should honor him with the love and with the praise that he deserves. Are our lives always going to be easy? No. But if we follow him, will we be happier? Definitely. Definitely. Verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that, excuse me, you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails. Why do we confess our sins, our trespasses? Better question, why don't we? Embarrassed? Disappointed? Scared? Our Monday, or excuse me, our men's breakfast, we have battle buddies. Believe me, I used mine this week and last week. When we were at our retreat, I told the guys I wanted to stay closer than we were last year. We were all on fire last year, and then we started to slow down. And this year, I think we're doing better. But I wasn't going to lie to my battle buddies when they said, how's your week? It's been rough. You know, I think I should get a new job. I know these guys are praying for me. But why are we confessing those sins? To get out of darkness. If you're in the darkness, you're hiding everything. God already knows. He wants you to confess those sins so that that need of being ashamed, being afraid, being embarrassed is taken away. Matthew 5, 14 and 16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Even so, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. People at work know me that if I'm in a bad mood or if I'm quiet, something's wrong. They like to see me when I'm happy. They like to see me when I'm smiling. They like to see me when I'm being a servant because that's what I am. I am a servant. I want to do God's will. And I have to do God's will the best I can. But if they see me angry, if they see me talking to somebody incorrectly, what type of light am I showing them? That's not a good Christian. That's not what we should be doing. We should be confessing our sins so that we are out of the darkness and we can be in the light. And so that others can see how much we are loved by our Father and how much we love them. I like these next two verses. Elijah was a man, was a man of like passions with us. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for 3 years, 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. I like this verse because it helped me. It spoke to me in James 5, verse 7, where it says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit on the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. All the prayers that we did this weekend, that is the fruit that we're waiting to see. To me, we were the rain that came on those seeds this weekend because those families knew that we cared. We had the last two, and if you were here, you already know this, we had the last two people. One was here probably for an hour. She was getting clothes, which was fine. And at the end, we were wondering what we were going to do with everything else. And we had a couple, and I had actually prayed with the gentleman before because he came for the meal. And I prayed for him and asked him if there was anything specific, and he didn't say, no, not really. But I guess his wife had come after work. And she had talked to us about how there was a need in Mexico, in the villages, for clothing. and they took everything. And I know Monica was happy. She doesn't have to worry about the clothes closet anymore. But it was good because we gave it to somebody who needed it. What we have is more than probably what we need. And they didn't have anything. And we were able to give them clothes, shoes, jackets, anything. I think we even gave them some furniture. I know we gave them a nice chest.
Yes.
But it felt good. It felt good. Because the lady and the husband were Christians. And they were going to go give that to them. Everybody that was here this weekend did an amazing job. God always provides. He provided for us with the meals. He provided for us all the clothing and the people here to help. And he provided for us an opportunity to pray and to help others. That to me is amazing. Like I said, when I was doing the study, I really enjoyed it because the specific needs that we have, are they needs or are they wants? There's a difference. If you want something, that's your will. If you need something, you go to God's will. That's just all there is to it. What I need is God in my life every single day. What I need is my battle buddies watching my back. What I need is to talk more about Jesus at work. There's nothing greater than having him in your life. It is never going to be easy. You're always going to have Satan coming to you saying, you know what? Go yell at that guy. No, don't go yell at that guy. Go talk to that guy. The reason why this one is so special to me right now is because we have another need that we're doing in a month, less than a month, and that's going to talk to homeless people. Those people have a need. They don't know what their specific need is, but if we can talk to them and tell them what they could have, they might understand what they need, because what they need is Jesus Christ. What they need is the Holy Spirit. What they need is to go and confess everything and ask for God to forgive them. Deuteronomy 15, 7 and 8 says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren with any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his needs, whatever he needs. Hard heart. I've had that before. Didn't like it then, don't like it now. I would rather have my hand open to help out those who need it. The people that came here this weekend, right here where it says, within any of the gates, they are in our gates. They really are. They're in our gates, and we opened up our hearts to them. Some of them cried. Some of them didn't say much, probably because the Holy Spirit was talking to them. I know that when somebody prays heavily for me, heavy for me, I'll be quiet. I'll be quiet because that's the Holy Spirit letting me know that there's something I need to change. It is so awesome to be able to give to others. We are a small church, right? It's probably what some people would say. But how many small churches do what we do? How many small churches have the same effect that we do? Not many. Not many at all. And that's because we do it not with a hard heart, but with a loving heart. And we do it with a loving heart because that's what God's put in us. I wanted to talk about, do you know what your calling is? That's what I wanted to talk about. Like I said, that's not what God wanted me to talk about. Everybody has a need. Whether it's a physical need, a spiritual, emotional, everybody has a need. With that need, you want an answer. And there really is only one answer, and that's Jesus Christ. Like I said before, if we confess our sins, if we ask our brothers and sisters for prayer, we are going to be that light that shines brightly for everybody to see. And that's the big thing. You want people to see what Jesus has done for you. And when I read this, that James had wrote about meeting specific needs, it touched my heart a lot. Partly because of what we just did, but more importantly, what can we do? What can we do in December? What can we do in January? What can we do all year long? We need to help people meet their specific needs. We need to show them that if they trust in God, they will be happier. It's not always going to be great. We all know that. We've gone through that, you know. Everybody's had their past. But what do you do with that past that changes your future? Do you stay with it? Or do you go ahead and change it and follow and bring others to you? Because it's a lot better to have people follow Christ than those that just want to do whatever they want. One last verse here, or a couple of verses. 1 John 1:5 through 10. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I love having fellowship with this church. I never had this out in California. to be perfectly honest. I went to the big church, Greg Laurie's church. It was nice. I loved the praise. But you didn't have the same caring people that you have out here in our church. I never would have met a Frank, an Eric, an Alan. I wouldn't have been, no.
How you doing?
Oh yeah, I see. God bless you, have a good, no. I love the fact that I can have these gentlemen's phone number and call them. I love that we can send prayer out and a praise, knowing that a need was met by our prayers. Fellowship is one of the biggest things that we could always do together. And tomorrow, as you go and have Thanksgiving, I hope you have a good fellowship, not only with the Lord, but with your family. And if you have friends coming over, I pray that you have a good fellowship with them too. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for everything that you have done. I thank you for allowing me to talk about meeting specific needs. I pray that we would help others to meet those specific needs. I pray that we would continue to be a light to this world, that we would continue to show your glory and your grace and your love. And I pray that you would watch over every single person here tonight. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would give them a good day of rest and that you would bless their Thanksgiving tomorrow. And I thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we're going to pass out the communion elements now. As Mike was sharing, I was thinking about the fact that we have needs. We absolutely have needs, and the Lord knew it. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "For this cause I've come." And the cause was for us. So he would die on the cross for our sins, and that we would have eternal life if we would turn to him and accept him. And so we have... We happen to be the blessed recipients of salvation. And that need has been met. And like Mike was sharing, is we've got a bunch of people that we're going to go minister to that are the homeless. And thanks. And they may not know their need. They may be lost. Or they might be trapped in sin. And so we do have an opportunity. And praise the Lord for the opportunities he gives us. As Mike was sharing, I was thinking, can you imagine when we get to heaven and we've been used by the Lord to touch certain people's lives, and we're going to get to heaven and we're going to get to see that, because it's going to be fruit that's going to be attributed to our account, essentially. And so there's one more scripture I wanted to share with you guys in Hebrews 12, speaking of what the Lord was willing to do. He loves us so much, he's willing to go to the cross for us. And so it says, looking unto him, unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the shame of the cross. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And so what we have to understand is that he did that with a full understanding that he was going to be essentially naked and beaten and marred beyond belief. And when he did that, it says that it was a joy for him. And so for you, as you hold the cracker, which is representing his body, which was broken for us, and the juice, which represents the blood, the sacrifice for our sins, I just want you to understand this, like the consideration of the Lord. He knew we had a need, and he meets it. But he considers it to be a joy. And so that means that you and I are a joy to him. That going through all of that was a pleasure to him. You know, when somebody does something for you and you say, well, thank you, and they say, it's my pleasure. Like, it truly is his pleasure. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're thanking him for these needs that were met. Thank you, Jesus. It's my pleasure. It's your pleasure to be ripped apart? It's your pleasure to take all of the sins of the world upon you at one time? That's a pretty big sacrifice that our Lord made. And so as you hold the cracker, tonight I want you just to meditate and think about it. This is his body, which was broken for you. We go over this, you know, every month we talk about this, but there's lashings upon his back. There's a crown of thorns. He had his beard ripped out. It could be painful, you know, have your beard ripped out. And he just had a big clunk of hair pulled out. And then on top of the whole physical passion that he went through, the spiritual aspect where all of the sins of the world, it's one thing to go through, because I put it in perspective to me. It's one thing if he just took all of my sins, but then he took all of the whole world's throughout history at one time. Really, that should just kill a person. The intensity of the guilt and the remorse. And so, you know, I want for all of us to, when we take communion, to really be mindful of this. So it's not just a ritual, but this is something intimate with the Lord. And so he considers you to be a joy. He loves you, and he would do it again if he needed to, but he doesn't need to. He just needs to do it once. So let's take the cracker and then the juice together, and I'll close us in prayer. Father, we do thank you for allowing your son to go to the cross for our sins after living a perfect life. Thank you that you consider us to be joy and you love us. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to us, Lord, that even while we're thankful for all these things, Lord, it really, truly, Lord, was a benefit and a delight for you to do those things. Lord, we are thankful in this season. We're thankful for all the blessings you give us. Lord, we're thankful for the promises of your word. Lord, we're thankful for the fact that all of our needs are promised to be met by you, according not to man's riches, not to Bill Gates' bank account, but according to the riches that are in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you that you've given us those promises, and we can take those to the bank. We can pray those things, and we can pray those things boldly. Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for opportunities to minister to people. Lord, we pray that you would be as we pray every year, Lord, you'd be the centerpiece for our Thanksgiving. We invite you ahead of time to be there, as Mike was saying, with our family, with our friends. Lord, bless the fellowship. Be there among us. God, we pray that you be glorified. And again, Lord, thank you for all you do for us. God, you're so good to us, Lord, and we love you for that. And thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for this communion time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.